wonder why you had them, and B, wonder where that trade-in program is at. But let me encourage you to keep parenting and be faithful. Deuteronomy 32:4 tells us this. The rock, speaking of God, it says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all of his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. There are numerous books written about biblical parenting. There are numerous books about promises of God. You probably have some at home. 100 promises for men, right? 100 promises for women. 100 promises for husband, 100 promises for wives, 100 promises for parents. We have these promises, but how many of us take them to heart? It's easy when it's sunshiny and it's all wonderful. When the kids come through the door and they're, praise Jesus, I love you, Mom and Dad. And that's preschool, right? When you hit middle school, a demon gets hold of them, takes charge of their life, it seems like, because they start acting really strange and saying things that you're like, my child would not say that. And then high school hits. And it's like somebody came in and removes their brain. Now, I know this to be true because I went through it myself. And I'm sure that if we're honest, all of us who are adults, we would say we did as well. Now, there were some who didn't. I had some dear friends that they were just the guys who they did everything all the time right. Got good grades, never went and did anything, never broke rules. I mean, if they got too much back, you know, like a nickel more back in the lunch money, they would take the nickel back. I mean, they were just that guy. I don't know what their parents did. I wish I did. But for the rest of us in the real world, it's we have dark days. So what are some of the promises that God gives us? He will never forsake us and never leave us. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that if we train up a child in the ways that he must go, he will not depart from them. He will return to them if he ever does. If we have them instilled in our children's hearts, and I know from my own experience that there were that time in my life where I walked away. I was the son who looked at my mom and dad and said, you can't make me go. Now I'm the one telling my daughter, yes, you have to go. Actually, I don't have to tell her because my kids actually like coming. But we have an amazing God who says to us, even in the dark times, even in those days when it doesn't look like it could get better, hang in there. One of the problems that I believe that we have in those time periods is that we put our hope in the wrong thing. We put our hope in our kids. We put our hope in their grades. We put our hope in their friends. We put our hope in their teachers. Maybe we put the hope in ourselves. But the second thing I want us to see is that real hope comes from God. Romans 5:5 says this, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Now, this was the verse that my dad used to get me to mow grass. And in my adolescent mind, I thought, oh, you're just manipulating scripture, Dad. But as an adult now, I see that what he was doing. And I was fortunate enough that I had some teachers who were also believers who, while they didn't necessarily preach to us, they did not hide back their faith. In particular, I remember a football coach. Many of you know him. His name is, I call him Coach Duluth. Reno. Many of you know him through the Emmaus community. And he would love to quote this verse as we were running hills and running steps. Because I was a lineman and he was the lineman coach. And he would tell us that no matter how hot it was always hotter when he did it as a kid. No matter how many steps we ran, he always ran more when he was a kid. And he talked about the suffering and how that it produced perseverance. And how the perseverance created character and character hope. And I'll tell you right now, when it's the fourth quarter and you're down and you don't want to go back out one more time, those extra steps that we ran, that extra hill that we climbed, that one more rep when it's 101 in August created perseverance and created character. We see it all the time in sports. But in life, we like to avoid those things, don't we? It's not a real miracle or question how somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger got to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, is it? Or Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, gets to be The Rock. They don't call him the Marshmallow, do they? The guy's ripped because he has dedication and perseverance, and he goes to the gym and he pushes those little weights around and a lot of weight. There's not a real big question why a guy like Warren Buffett has billions of dollars. Or Donald Trump. Or the list goes on. Men or women who have success in life have learned that they go through suffering. Do you know that the average millionaire in America has been bankrupt 1.5 times? I don't know how you get half bankrupt, but 1.5 times they've been bankrupt. That means that they didn't give up. They didn't stop. What about us spiritually? You find out that Jesus loves you, John 3:16. Oh, he loves me. It's awesome. I give my life to him. And as long as things are going our way, we're faithful to him. But our hope is ourselves, not him. And then that time comes where we walk through the shadow of the valley of death. When we have some problems, when we have that setback, when we have some failures, when life doesn't go exactly how we want it, where does our hope lie? Just recently, I went to visit a lady who I had the privilege of ministering to a number of years ago in the jail ministry. And this is a woman who, if you could think of it, she's done it. But she encountered Christ at the Henderson County Detention Center, and she was part of our Life Change program, and she started to understand Scripture and understand the Word and understand hope and had a real relationship with God. And she was paroled. It was a miracle. She just knew God had opened the door. She wasn't supposed to get paroled that early. She did. And for 2 years, she had done really, really well. And it happened one day when something went against her. See, over the years in the parenting, the lack of parenting had resulted in her children being taken away. And some of her children she was able to get back through the court system, but her son, courts deemed that he did not need to go back to her just yet. And that's what it took. That's all it took for her to say, to go home. And I went to visit her recently. She's back in jail. And just with tears running down her face, she told me, she said, "Chaplain, I know." She said, "I remember the moment when I just, like a child, looked to God and said, 'Well, if you're not going to give me what I want, then I'm not going to do what you want.'" And for the following 6 months, she went on an all-out blitzkrieg, I'm going to do it and sin as big as I can. The result of which is that she's facing another 20-year in jail. Her hope was in a God who only would do things that she wanted done. And when she set him to the side and did what she wanted to do, she put her hope in drugs, in a bad relationship, in old habits. Well, it created suffering, but not the kind of suffering that creates perseverance and character. It created destruction. Are we willing to go through the dedicated times with God and trust with our children and with our own lives to suffer a little to gain a lot? I know as parents we do it all the time. Many of us talk about our moms. Your mom probably, when there's that one last piece of pie, and they all ask who wanted it, who was the first to say they didn't want it? Usually mom, right? Oh, no, honey, you take it. Now, she probably wanted that pie. That's a little bit of suffering. What about families who do everything they can, and they sell things, and they reduce their debt and reduce their cost of living so that they can provide for their children with their education? Our families who have children with special needs, that they have to do everything they can to make sure that that child is taken care of. What is the long-term gain? The long-term gain is a relationship with God that has a character and hope, and the hope that does not put us to shame. Because I'm here to tell you today that if your hope is in the Lord, He will not fail you. If your hope is in anything else, your 401k, your job, your children's future career, whether it's as a doctor or lawyer or that NBA star, you just know that they're going to be. Your hope will let you down. You see, the goal is not to have this really great kid. The goal in parenting is to create an offspring, godly offspring. We talked about this from Malachi chapter 2. Why did God put man and woman together? To create godly offspring. The goal is Christ-likeness. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says this. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Even the bad things. Even the rebellious child. Even a rebellious spouse. In all things, God can work through them. For those who have been called according to His purpose, for those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Jesus Christ is the goal. God is not interested and making good Americans. Did you know that? Being a good citizen is a worthy goal, and it's nice, but it is not God's purpose. He doesn't want to make good Americans. He wants to make small Christs. Men and women who walk around with the image of Christ embedded in them. They want to have men and women who grow up and be Christ-like. As a parent, are we okay with that? Would that be enough? Does it matter if they make minimum wage or maximum wage? Does it matter if they live in a duplex or a mansion? if they drive a Fiat or they drive a Mercedes? Does it matter more than having our children be Christ-like? Now, some of you have grown adult children. And for some of you, your heart still breaks because the time that you spent with them and the years that you raised them and you tried to instill in them the message of Jesus Christ and they have rejected it. They've turned their back. They turn their back on you. They turn their back on your faith. They turn their back on God. Perhaps you're still praying for that day where they may turn and come back like a prodigal child. Let me give you hope. Our Heavenly Father understands. It's the fourth thing that I want us to see today. God speaking through Isaiah says this, "Hear me, you heavens, listen, you earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me." Let me just encourage you. If you have children that have turned their back on God, turned back on faith, and they don't go to church, they don't have that relationship with Christ, God understands. Look at all that he did for the nation of Israel, for the children of Israel. And he tells us here, "I reared children and brought them up, but they rebelled against me." Would you say that God is a failure as a father? No. Was he faithful? Did he do what he needed to do? Yes. Two things out of this passage I want us to take. Number one, for those of us who still have children at home, let us be encouraged that those days, those times where they turn their back on us or they give us back talk, they're not the perfect little angels you just expected them to be. It's not a surprise to God, so it shouldn't be a surprise to us. And number two, for those of you who have children who have grown, if you knew in your heart that you were faithful, if you delivered the message of Christ to them, if you took them to church, if you introduced them to faith and they rejected it, it is their responsibility. Just as our Heavenly Father was still a good parent, he was a perfect parent. Now, we can't claim that, but we who were faithful to deliver the message of Christ to our children, we are a good parent. You did your job. The rest is on them. I want to close with the promise of Romans 8:37 through 39. I close with this as an encouragement to myself and to all of us, that we can know that if it is God's will for them to be in the family of God, that it's their will for our children to be saved, there is absolutely nothing that can stop that, including us. Now, I already have things in my parenting set that I could look back and say, probably shouldn't have done that. And maybe you have one or two. I have a whole bunch, but you may have one or two. And my mom was here a few weeks ago. She has none. Or so she says. No, she has plenty. Because she was human. And she was raising human children. But let me encourage you with these words from Paul. It says, "In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." See, if we have Christ in us, that's the key. And we can overcome that bad attitude. We can overcome that rebellion. We can help overcome that addiction. We can help overcome that rejection of God in our children through Christ who loves us. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, nor the present or future, or any powers..." neither height nor depth nor anything else in all the creation. What involves all the things of the creation? Part of it is you and I. So that's why I say that we can set back and say, even if we make mistakes, God can overcome that. We shouldn't beat ourselves up too much. If we're presenting the truth in Christ, there's nothing that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There will be days, dark days. Even if your children are outside of your home already, there's still going to be some dark days. Days when their life just doesn't go right. And let's pray that they turn back to you and say, okay, help me understand. And in those moments, as long as we are faithful parents, presenting the love and truth of Jesus Christ, it's up to God to do the rest. So let's trust Him in all things. I know for myself, I can't raise my kids. I've had to turn that over to God a long time ago. In those days when I let Him do it, it's great. Then sometimes Jason steps in. Let's pray that as a group and as we close out today, that we continue to move forward and let God do the parenting. Let God handle those things in our lives. Let God do the stuff in their life that needs to be done between them and God. We can't do it for them. There's one thing that I preached very faithfully when I was in the jail ministry. You're not getting to heaven on grandma's religion. Because that's what I heard a lot of. I'd ask somebody where their faith journey was at, and they'd say, oh, well, grandma, she was very faithful about going to church. That's great for grandma. Let me just challenge you. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the first place that's got to start. Because you can't lead your kids somewhere that you're not going yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you are a father that understands, that you're a parent that understands. God, you have very rebellious children, but you still love us. You still are faithful to us. So Heavenly Father, when those dark times come, when our children rebel, our children turn their back on us, on you, God, help us to be faithful parents who are dedicated to loving you and loving them. We trust you that all things work out to the good who are called by your name, and that we are more than conquerors because we are in you. And God, there is nothing on this earth and in this creation that can separate us or our children from you. We stand on your promises, we stand on your word, and we claim this in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, without which we would have nothing. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us and sing our closing song?